Hey, welcome to this live stream where we are having a soap breakthrough. I was just gonna say we were stuck. So a few technical problems we're working out. Hi, Sonia, I noticed that I can see you now and you look beautiful, and but I can't hear you. That's the only problem. So it doesn't look like you're muted, and there is a setting below for your audio. So if you just click that, click audio, and then it'll ask you which mic you want to hear from and which mic you want to speak into, and it will give you a way to test that mic as well. And so for those of you who are already here, welcome to the stream. I'm glad you're here, and if you are a fan of Sonia Barrett like I am, then we're really looking forward to this. And thank you for your patience. I just put up the banner, I know who I am. That's my mantra now and my hashtag. Moving forward, I encourage you to adopt it. Hello, Mike New. Nice to see you. Glad you guys are able to join us and talk about this beautiful thing. I might tell you a little bit about the subject. I would love to help Sonia somehow. She can hear me, but she's not able to be heard. And that sucks because she's a great voice and lots of amazing things to say. Hello, Fu Sue Finelli. Sonia, you could try to jump off and jump on again. That's one thing. Yeah, not hearing. Sorry. It's usually just a one click. The website opens and then you're just on as long as you've got your cam and your mic set up, which I know you're a professional podcaster and radio show host. This shouldn't be. Yeah, so if you want to send me a message, you could use the chat. I have that open so that if you need me to hear something. And DQuest is here and patient. I believe she will work it out. I also, yep, she's a serious professional. This woman is the executive producer of an award-winning documentary, The Business of Disease, which we'll talk about. She is the host and producer of the radio show, The Expansion Zone. And also the author of a book. Let me just see. The Holographic Canvas, The Fusing of Mind and Matter, and a second book, A Journey of Possibilities in Health, an Inside Job. And her latest book is a 7-day program, Simple Ways to Step Outside of Your Comfort Zone, Letting Go of an Outdated Life. How beautiful. Wow, three books. I thought writing one book was such a big deal. Although I am working on my second one now, and it's called I Did It. And it doesn't mean that, woohoo, I did it. It's more like, nope, guys, whatever it is going on out there, I did it. Hello, Voynich. Nice to see you. Kelly Effie made it. Ordinary Bear, afternoon. It's, yeah, just afternoon, 6 minutes afternoon in Central Time. Where are you guys located? Put your location in the chat if you feel like it. And Sonia, yeah. Let's see. How about jumping off and on again? Maybe a glitch. So I'm going to, Sonia, if you can still hear me. Yeah, but good. Excellent. Amsterdam, and it is 1900 hours in Amsterdam, 1900 minus 12, so it's 7 p.m. in Amsterdam. How's my math? Belgium, 7 p.m. Excellent. South Main, DQuest. Hello, Aisling. Boy, I think of you often, Cami. I think this coming week, if you have any time open, I'd love to have you on. I'd like to do a different show with Karen. Hello, Janet from Greenville, South Carolina. Channel News is in Idaho. Mike New, Fort Worth, Texas. Excellent. I like Texas. Something big just happened there. Ordinary Bear is in Plymouth, UK. Excellent. Excellent. I love that. I should ask more often. It's so fun, this whole international world. There's nobody from the local. Okay, let's see. Yeah, Sonia, I can't hear you. Let me add you to the
Here.
stream. There you are.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
You can hear me?
Yes.
Yes. Oh my gosh, I am so sorry because I'm so used to Zoom and I didn't get to change my screen background, so we have to do it with the green screen.
Oh, that's
Oh, that's
fine.
fine. Yeah.
Not a
Not a
problem.
problem.
Now,
Now,
I've
I've
got
got
an
an
echo. Can
echo.
you
Can you
guys
guys
hear the
hear the
echo?
echo?
And I don't know
I
if
don't
you
know
have
if
a
you have a
headset,
headset,
Sonia.
Sonia.
That
That
might
might
be
be
a
a
way
way
to
to
deal with
deal
the
with the
echo.
echo. Do you want me to use the headset? Which, one second.
Okay,
Okay,
sorry.
sorry. No, it's okay.
Poor thing.
Poor thing. Oh. Let me see. Remove the screen, edit. Aha. Camera, mute, screen, leave. I'm trying to.
Yeah, that
Can.
was good for a second.
Oh, one second.
And let's do the
Let me
echo.
put the can. Can you
Better.
hear me?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Oh my
Breakthrough.
goodness. Oh my goodness.
Breakthrough. Poor thing. Yeah, just like it's not hard enough.
Oh my gosh.
I know,
Yeah.
I know. Like you're not,
Usually everything's pretty simple, but for some reason, it was a little complicated. But anyway.
Fair enough, fair
All
enough. I'm
right.
sorry you had trouble, but I'm so glad you're here.
Yeah, thank you. Thank
It's,
you.
yeah, truly a pleasure to host you. Welcome everyone to the King Heroes Journey podcast. There's still a tiny bit. Oh no, echo's gone now. Excellent. Yay. It's
Completely gone? Okay.
way more fun to talk without an echo. And so I will introduce you again. We have a nice group joining here. Sonia Barrett is the executive producer of the award-winning documentary, The Business of Disease. So I'm definitely going to be asking you about that. Also, the host and producer of the radio show I was on twice last week and the week before, The Expansion Zone, which is KPFK 90.7 FM in Los Angeles. And it also goes to YouTube and her other channels. I'm going to be posting the interview on my channel as well. She's known for cutting-edge insights. With much of it supported by quantum physics. Theoretical physicist Dr. Amit Goswami refers to her as a true mystic. Her work bridges the gap between science and spirituality in a simplified format. She addresses the programming, beliefs, and concepts by which we have lived our lives both individually and collectively. Sharing her insights, Sonia has been a keynote speaker at conferences like the Alchemy Conference. Ooh, I wish I could go to that one, which is probably in the US. Conscious Life Expo, the Essene Conference, Conspiracy Con, the Bay Area UFO Conference, and more. She's appeared on panels with visionaries such as Bruce Lipton. Oh, Jacob Lieberman, that's hilarious. I just interviewed him this week.
Yeah, I spoke to him this week again as well.
Wow, that's interesting. We're
Yeah.
both maybe working on him a little bit or something. Amit Goswami and Reverend Michael Beckwith, as well as others. As he talked about her three books already are out there. I invite you to look those up, and there are three websites I've got ready to show everyone. And just a quote from her, she says, "Recognizing our spiritual and perceptual boundaries and comfort zones is a major factor in our quest for answers." So we're going to talk a lot about boundaries today, the meaning of that, and learn more about Sonia, because one of the things that maybe doesn't happen in a normal interview is you don't find out who the person is behind the message. And it's not very often. I'm not trying to blow smoke up your butt or anything, Sonia, but it's not that often that I host a woman on this series. It's not, and to tell you the truth, it's not because we lack for strong women. In fact, I spent 15 years highlighting strong women, and so they are out there. And I was inspired seeing the work that you're doing. It really appears to me that you are willing to risk everything for the truth, that you've stood up in situations where you had a lot to lose. And I have great admiration. The choice to host you now is to host those truth tellers, because now is the time to tell the truth. If you know the truth, it is the time to tell it. Welcome, Sonia. Thank you so much for joining me.
Oh, thank you so much for inviting me. What an honor. Thank you. Thank you.
Totally my great pleasure. And so, what was it that inspired you to do all of this work in the first place?
Well, my, you know what? It's always a good question, but My curiosity, going back to early 90s, I think about my own life and my own experiences, I think just it started there with a general curiosity about this world and life and my role in it. And largely at that time was really about looking at me as opposed to maybe then my circumstances or things that I had experienced, but in that moment realizing that this really isn't about what the other person did, but what is my role here? You know, why did I have this experience and what does it mean? What does life mean? So for me, it began there. And if you ask that question is what I found in a very, very strong way, not a very topical way of why me? Not, I'm not talking about that, but I'm talking about really going to the gut of the idea of life. You end up having to explore all kinds of things because it's a composite. That's what I learned. It's made up of everything. And many times I realize that people just, you know, they wanted to just maybe focus on one factor here and one factor there. And what I was realizing was that it led me into trying to understand the political arena, the, you know, the idea of being sovereign, history. I mean, it was just everything. And I was like, wow. This is the foundation upon which the life that I've been living and everybody's been living is based on a lot of programming, a lot of conditioning, a lot of misinformation or reinterpretation of different levels of history, different kinds of history. And that's sort of where it began. And it moved me into a free space. I really felt, I've always felt the freedom to question, and not only to question, Beth, but to be okay with not having to trap reality in a box, but to really allow it to show itself to me and go on that journey and just keep moving. As you understand something and you change, then you keep moving. And I think a lot of times people want to trap it into a comfortable space and then it's just no peripheral vision and this is what it is. And so for me, who I am now and my diving in and exploring things and being okay with, you know, if I get kicked off the radio or whatever, all comes from that free space of just being okay with discovering and knowing that I'm going to be okay. Nobody can take anything from me is what I learned. Honestly, when you get to the heart of it, I realize that. And so I just kind of do and be and just keep moving forward. I hope that answers that question. Oh, now your audio is low.
Oh, sorry. So sorry. Yeah. The level of conviction that you are expressing right now is such a beautiful transmission of energy. This is what people need right now, because even many that are knowing the truth are not able to get out and speak the truth for one reason or another. There's a lot of behind the scenes, and that's not wrong. This is not calling anybody out, but once you know the truth and you have this level of, you know, it sounds to me, Sonia, like you love the truth more than you're afraid of the consequences. And
oh, absolutely.
Right.
I mean, I think that at the heart of it all, it's denial has gotten us into all kinds of situations. And I think that this journey is about that. I think creation wants us to do this. It wants us to see clearly what it is. And in order to see clearly what creation is, we have to see on this third dimensional level all of these other things that play a role in our lives and not hide from it. Because I think that those are survival behaviors. Our denial is about survival and being scared, and we're looking for safety. And we figure if we don't look at that, if we don't dig into the truth, then we can just be over here with our safe thoughts and safe feelings. But I realize that truth is always, it's also always expanding. So truth is not really always, it's not final. That's something I discovered. There are layers to truth. And so I approach everything with that perspective, from that perception, is realizing that what I know right now is not necessarily the final conclusions, but what I know right now is going to lead me into an even deeper truth, a deeper level of understanding. And I think that's something that we really need to really embrace and to realize that, so that we don't get caught in these final conclusions, which is how the construct or the system, as we say, sort of get our minds all trapped into beliefs and fear of the consequences, which is another part of this that I realize is that we have such a fear of the consequences, and those that run these our world then, and in these different cities and environments and so on, those that have been appointed rulers or they appoint themselves rulers, they count on that. They count on people's fear of the consequences, so they continue to reinforce then the consequences, and it keeps people in that fear state. And what do? You know, the whip is cracked. You don't even have to crack the whip anymore, because you're already so aware of what the consequences could be that you withdraw. And when we withdraw, we actually withdraw from life. And when we withdraw from life, Beth, we start to literally withdraw the very oxygen that is being supplied to our bodies. And we need to realize the domino effect that happens on this technology that we call a body that responds to our minds and our belief systems.
Amazingly well said. I love that. And another feature of that, just to add to what you're saying, is that we try to make policy statements. It's the reason that people don't want to keep that window to truth open. And even especially truthers, it's a trap. Like, you know, you come along, you decide, oh yes, I won't use that example just to not create a kerfuffle. Let's see another one. But the shape of the earth, right? So you decide, okay, it's flat, and then that's it for you. You never again will open your mind to some other, maybe it's possible, almost always probable, that it's not one or the other. It's not just two options. There might be more options. And having your mind as a practice open like that is invaluable, because you're not going to create policy statements that are going to trap you, make you miserable, and inevitably, like, God won't stand for policies. God is inviting us to be present and aware in every single moment, and policies won't do it. So anyway, I hope not didn't offend anybody about that.
Yeah.
I was just going to quickly say welcome to everybody in the chat. They're sending you lots of props here and appreciation. So I hope it doesn't distract you if I put some comments up at
oh, I don't know. Points. That's fine.
Yeah. And
that's
if there's fine. if there's any questions in the chat, feel free to ask as well. And
can I just respond to that real quick? I love what you said, mm-hmm. because it's about safety it's about feeling safe for people. That's the reason why they lock in on a conclusion, is because it's comfortable. And it makes them feel like they're not wandering into the unknown. People don't like the unknown. And that's the reason why they get caught in these finality traps. The people who are, I will say it, the people who are even, consider themselves missionaries of truth. It's a very interesting trap, this whole construct, as to how we can get ourselves caught in this no peripheral vision. And it does lock us in when we have to be open and we have to see that this is a pliable experience. Reality is extremely pliable. It's extremely plastic. And we are the ones determining what's comfortable for us, and then locking ourselves into that comfort safe state and getting into arguments with other people when we feel that our comfortable concepts are being threatened.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, exactly. Yeah, we want to just sleep in the light. I have a girlfriend who always says, you're not a cat. You can't just sleep in the light. It ain't going to work out that way. So yeah, here we are challenged to stay awake. And there's a certain pain in it. But I do believe there's also that flip. There's a moment where you're actually more excited about the truth than you mm-hmm. are afraid of using your awareness. And of course, using your awareness never costs you energy. It only gives you energy. It just mm-hmm. is the resistance to having that fresh awareness in every moment, that's what sucks the life out of people. So
yeah, we are our own prison wardens, and you know, we don't really realize that. And so the system, once again, the system in place does play on that, because we're distracted from seeing that we are the ones that are keeping ourselves in prison by really sticking or connecting with information that keeps confirming, you know, confirming that this is what's going on, this is what's being done to you. And we are also sort of removed from self-responsibility as well. And self-responsibility is, I always say, it's not a blame thing. You know, sometimes people think when you say, you know, take responsibility, it's not a matter of blaming. When you were on the show, Beth, we talked about this, and you said the key thing here, it is about bringing back your own power. So owning responsibility or taking responsibility for ourselves and our lives is about empowering ourselves and bringing all that back, as opposed to giving so much of our life force out to other people and then saying they are doing this, I have no control, I have no power. That literally drains your body. So you can end up having, you know, high blood pressure, have no idea why, you know, your hormones are off. It takes a lot of emotional energy, and it takes so much from this body, this chemical factory, because the body is a chemical factory. It disrupts the entire chemistry of the body in ways that we just don't understand. And we don't get taught this in school at all, about this technology and how important it is for us to really come into our own and take full ownership of our bodies, of our minds, our spirits, and our bodies.
Exactly. Yeah, allowing yourself to go into the unknown and not locking in with that truth is such a great bit for this audience in particular, because we are truthers. And it's tempting to go, okay, I found the truth. I actually spent a lot of last night not finding truth. I'm on a mission. So, if everybody or anybody who's hearing this, if you could help me out with something, I'm looking for factual documents. There is a ton of YouTube videos out there that, you know, experts speaking and telling facts and saying facts. But I actually want documents. I went to the Roche website of the who created the PCR test. And they're saying some very interesting things that it doesn't diagnose disease. Fascinating, right? So I want those kind of documents in writing by officials that are able to stand behind these facts. And then, you know, the goal is to put together a fact sheet first for my kid's principal, because he's actually open to suspending his belief. He came to the conversation very open. I said, as an educator, are you open to taking on new facts? You spend more time with my kid than I do, unfortunately. And so I would like to sit down with you and show you a bunch of facts. And now I am challenged to really come up with that. And it's not just YouTube videos. They're not helpful. I need documents. So that's my request out there, to email me, beth@bethmartins.com, for the factual documents that we need to get through stuff right now. And then back to Sonia's story. So were there, actually, I'd like to ask you, how do you overcome struggles? What is it that you do to get from a bad place to a new place in your life? How do you find the courage as well?
I'm going to answer that in just one second. I apologize, people, but there are some people working, and I want to make sure the noise isn't coming in. So I just need to send them a text to let them know that I'm doing this interview, so it doesn't come through.
Okay, no problem. We're not hearing any noise.
Yeah, but if they start drilling, then, you know. All right, so now what was the question?
So first of all, where do you find the courage to face your obstacles head on, to face the truth, to take on some new level, and how do you get to the other side? Do you have a mechanism or a means for overcoming challenges?
Okay, so two things here. I've had people ask me or email me over the years and say, oh, you're so courageous. And let me say this, that when people say that, I don't feel like I'm being courageous. I just feel like I'm just doing and being. And so it's so then I have to process that when somebody says, well, you're being so courageous. And I'm thinking, well, there is who I'm being right now is no other way for me to be. So I think that's part of it too. It's like, who are you? You know, who are you? And I think we have to ask ourselves that question, who are you? And when you understand that, when you get that, then every move you make is just about the move that you need to make. One way or another, this is what I'm doing. So I tend to approach things in that manner. Now, as far as challenges, obviously, yes, we all face all kinds of different challenges. And I think every challenge may come with a different weight to it. And there are times when you do have to kind of sit back and go, okay, this is really kind of feeling like a big one. But over the years, because I've been at this for a long time now, I have learned how to not turn things into a story that could last a week, a year or more, which I think is what happens with a lot of people. They get trapped in a story, and that story spins off into, it's a portal. It spins off into 200s or even thousands of maybe other stories. And ultimately, the choices that you will make in your life, you will not realize that, but you start making choices based on that story, the portal that you wandered into. So once I started to understand how every thought really is a portal, like every thought I'm having is taking me on a journey, then I started to become more aware. Not saying that I haven't gone through or go through those moments of just feeling like, oh, but I pull myself back. If you can get to center, I always say, if you can get to that place where you go, wait a second, you know, and I tell people, build a foundation. You have to build a foundation. And what does that look like? When I say build a foundation, my foundation consists of a whole lot of things. Like, for example, a reminder that of the stories, that life is filled with stories and characters and how I'm bringing them in. So I've got that under my belt of realization. So I'm able to kind of zone in when I see myself diving into a story that is completely probably unimportant and filled with nothing but scenarios, because that's what we do. We just fill it up with scenarios of what could happen, what might happen, what that person thinks about me. And you start to hear all of that, you can shut it down, because most of the time it's founded on nothing other than a lot of speculation and a lot of made up information. So you start to realize that. So it's part of my foundation. The other part of my foundation is remembering that life is a game, is really remembering that. And I am a player in it. And what kind of player am I going to be? Some days I'd get up and I would go, not today. Today I am not wandering into the casino, the big casino, and I am not hitting any slot machines today. I will hit no handles today. So we've done workshops where we've talked about that it's like a big casino. You get up and you have to hear what the download is, because as soon as you wake up, you don't know when that thinking process starts, when the reminder starts to show up about what the problems were of yesterday. Then you wake up and suddenly the download begins and you're right back into the same problems. Now, when I say I'm shutting it down, because we've done workshops where we go, okay, there are days you can just shut it down. And I'm talking, you shut down that casino, you shut it down. You're not playing today. I don't go, oh, you know, I'm so done today, I'm not playing. When you shut it down, you shut it down, because you get it. This is a game. And I come in every day and I play it and I fill it with stories. But this morning when I wake up, today I'm just going to be. No games today, no stories. I'm not upset. But I've made a final decision that today I will just allow myself to be. In that moment, when I can allow myself that, without trying to convince myself, because if you do, that means you don't, you still don't have it. When I do that and I just go about my day, it doesn't mean that problems that maybe I had yesterday, that there aren't there. But what I do find happens, as soon as I disconnect from the story that could spill out, since I'm not in a relationship with a story or whatever it is, they solve much faster. They resolve so much quicker because my emotional engagement isn't there. My doubts and my fears don't have to be played out. And then I don't have to run into or get a phone call from this person to build a story. There's nothing to charge up any of this. And so I find that suddenly they resolve themselves because guess what? I'm not playing with the story. I'm not playing with it. So it resolves. So I think those things are really important for people to really understand how we are engaging in this incredible experience that we call life, wherever this is, wherever we are, whatever we are. And I like to say, whenever we are, you know, it's all about when are we, you know. So it's realizing all of those things that make a difference, and to know that I have that power. I have the power today to just decide, not today. And I just go about my day and I feel amazing. And that's when all kinds of things happen. Then there are those days where I don't try to do that. And then it's a day of engagement. Now I'm engaging with all kinds of things, but I realize that it is my choice. And in that moment, I can also shut that down as well. And Beth, real quickly, because this is such a big thing what you just asked me for people, because right now is a time where it's very easy to fall into all the stories and to feel depressed and all of that. And I know what that feels like, not with this situation, but in my life, having experienced some of those moments, the times when maybe I've lasted in a feeling of just being down, maybe longer than I would like to. What helped me to get out of that is to just take each moment, take this moment. It's like in that moment, I go, okay, what's going on with you right now, Sonia? I'm just sitting. Okay, then just sit. It stops my mind from anything else. Now I'm just embracing the fact that I'm here. No extra thoughts, I'm just sitting. And I just keep reminding myself, what are you doing right now? I'm reading this book. Okay, then that's all I'm doing. What generally happens is we don't do that. We go off into 2 million things in the moment, and that's where all the madness and the insanity and the stress and the depression comes in. But if we can just say what we're doing right now, then you begin to make it more longer and longer. And that's how I would get out of some of those situations. I would keep expanding that idea. And then before I know it, after a few days, maybe I can do it that day, but after a few days, I found that I get myself to just be here. And suddenly I start that feeling, that other thing starts to go away. That chemical response that I had started an addiction to in my body starts to be overridden. It starts to go away. So I hope that helps.
Beautiful. Yeah, that helps a lot. That's amazing. I wanted to say something about a word you used several times, and then I have a different question. But the word decide, and I just happened to be teaching my training students today on the power of a decision and how to help other people make decisions, because they're training to be coaches. And the word decision is so beautiful. It means it has that word size, meaning to cut. And so there's a lot of power in a decision, even if you don't have a whole bunch of, tools up your sleeve or tricks that you've learned. If you just decide, it's so strong.
It's powerful.
It really is powerful. It packs a real punch. It's a courageous thing to do, to decide.
And we're doing it. Here's the thing, though, Beth, we're doing it all the time. It's just like, I always say, it's like a magician that doesn't realize he or she's a magician and just keeps waving their wand all over the place, and all kinds of things are coming up, dragons and, you know, whatever, lions, tigers, bears, you know, it's like everywhere. But it's like, oh, I don't know, where's this coming from? Well, you keep doing that. So I think it's to realize that we are ever not making decisions. We make the decision even to not make a decision. So we have to understand that we are constantly in decision and choice mode. And we need to acknowledge that. When we acknowledge it, power comes back. Really, it's not even really gone. It's just the direction, how you've directed your power. So your power really is never gone. It's just how you direct your power and the focus that you've put or directed that power to. And it's just to be able to begin to realize all of those things.
Exactly. Voynich in the chat said the scissor equals the Caesar. That's interesting. I don't know much about that. And then the decisor, and he also is looks like maybe some German here. Das ist er. If I'm saying that.
Caesar and C-section and cutting and.
Ah, there you go. There you go. Interesting. I love words. They're so revealing.
Mm-hmm.
And so is there, there's almost always on the hero's journey, there's almost always mentors that show up at just the right time for one reason or another. Mm-hmm. Are there ones in your life that have assisted you on your path?
I will definitely say that when I didn't understand that. When I started out my curiosity really heavily in 92, and for some people who've heard me talk before, it was after I was going through a divorce. I had just left my marriage with two children and a very physically abusive situation and emotionally. And I had lived that for 14 years. For 14 years, I had lived this. So when I left, I was completely new to everything. I'd never been into a psychic shop. I'd never metaphysics, none of that, other than my own curiosity throughout my life as a teenager and so on. So here I am, I'm entering into this new space and on my own, not knowing about any workshops or anything at all about anything other than reading Shirley MacLaine, Out on a Limb, Dancing in the Light, and eventually Masters of the Far East, and just kind of set them down. And as I dove into myself, so on my own, I had to teach myself how to meditate and all of these things on my own. And so during that process, there were a couple of times where there were a couple of people that just sort of showed up in my life. And one person in particular really introduced me to the idea, I think, of magic. I remember when I met her and she says, well, I'm a Wiccan. Well, I didn't even know the word. I thought she made like basket weaving or I didn't know what she was talking about. I mean, that's how ignorant I was to that. I didn't know. And then she was explaining that to me. And I'm like, oh, okay. Now coming from the church end of it as a child is like, okay, this stuff is supposed to be off limits. I didn't feel like that. I felt so trusting of my journey and my questioning and my knowing that no matter what road I take, I'm just going to be fine because everything that's being presented to me in this moment is going to be a stepping stone. And so these people, she showed up and she brought an edge to it. She brought something that I needed to remember. Sorry about that. She brought a part of something that needed to be understood, that would become incorporated in my world, in my growth. And so there was her, and then there was another person that came along that was also amazing. She told me a lot about who I now am, but at the time I didn't understand. When she was telling me the things that I will do, and that's a whole other story, but years later, I understand. Because, we're talking, geez, when I met her, this one particular lady had to be like maybe 94 or something like that. So very long time. And she told me, she says, you are going to do more than I will ever do. Mm. And I thought, oh, okay. You know what I mean? And then it's like years later, you're seeing. And you meet people on different parts of the road. That's what I've learned. And that's what I like to remind people of,
You're going to meet people that it's like, oh, wow, we're on the same page, you know, it's all great. And then you may find that you're expanding, you're growing, and that person has chosen to stay right there on that road. This is why they say the road narrows and the journey just, you know, seem to become a bit lonely at times. It's because you meet people at different parts of the road. And it's not everybody's journey in this life to continue to dig further and deeper and deeper and go down that rabbit hole. And that's okay. So you just keep going. If nothing else, keep moving, because you're going to always meet other people. And the idea of being lonely, those things start to go away, you know, and you just keep going. But yeah, I've met a couple of people that definitely contributed to my awareness. And one person did say to me, she's like, how do you know that? You're going moving too fast. And I thought, I'm learning, I'm becoming aware too fast, because she couldn't understand how it was understanding things. It just took me a long time. So I stopped for a minute. I thought, huh, maybe she's right. And then that lasted maybe about a day. And then I was like back on it again. I was like, I need to dig. I need to understand this. I know that it is my right to tap into information. And that's basically what I did.
Mm-hmm. Amazing. Yeah, the mentors can show up in a variety of ways. So one is they're an outright teacher. Two is they're actually trying to stop you. And by mm-hmm. trying to stop you, they teach you that you keep going. And that's mm-hmm. that's almost always my advice, is keep going.
Keep going.
You're on the track. Keep going.
And there's no final destination. Exactly. That's another thing people need to understand. You know, we get mm-hmm. these things where people think they're just suddenly they're going to get to this place. And then they're enlightened. Then and it's like, oh, I'm all done. We just continue to become more aware and more expansive in our awareness, and our consciousness is shifting and shifting and shifting. But if indeed creation is this endless journey of possibilities, how can you come to an end? You can't. You all you do is you keep, I say you keep growing or ascending into yourself, into greater levels of possibilities. And you are just unlimited possibilities, because you are the fabric of creation. You are truly what you're looking for, you know, like the dog trying to bite its tail. So I think when we start realizing that we really are the fabric, simply manifest in this particular form to have this particular experience, to have this lesser, what we would maybe say a lesser vibrational experience, because if everything is possible, then creation must experience all that is possible through different conditions, different people, different forms, different life forms, different, so many different things. So it, to me, that opens up this picture of unlimitedness, and then you don't feel like you need to trap anything anymore. You just continue to expand and just embrace expansion.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Beautiful. That's amazing. Yeah. And that expansion is the nature of it. Just to the theme of today is always unknown. We're mm-hmm. always walking in blind into the future, not having a clue. And all of your experience is not going to guarantee you any reliable outcome. You're always risking, and you must keep going. That's why they call it a hero's journey and not a tiptoe through the tulips.
Yeah, you can, but I don't know how far you're going to get, but you know, you can do that if you want to. But yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And I think in terms of what you talk about with the hero's journey, I think that it's, for me, it also became that awareness that I am strong as a woman. But here's the thing, for me, I have always felt this sense of balance, like with both energies, because we have both energies, we have both male and female, the both masculine and feminine charge frequencies. And to realize that maybe, yes, one may be more prominent than the other, but at the same time, we're realizing that these frequencies are available and are responding according to each condition and each thing that we perhaps need to do in our lives, we are expressing what some would say, oh, very, very tough or very, you know, whatever, masculine side. But I don't really see it that way. I just see it that my beingness, I'm just allowing myself to fluidly express and be in that moment as, you know, as necessary. I hope that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, it does.
So I don't have to be like, oh, I'm just rigidly, you know, this thing or whatever, whatever. I'm just allowing myself to be.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's the whole nature of responsibility, to respond to what is.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Mm-hmm. That's why you don't know exactly what it's going to look like until you get there sometimes.
And you have to trust that. And we don't have to be scared of needing to have these certainties. We need to know exactly how it's going to happen. Mm-hmm. And because of that, that interrupts the flow and the unfolding of so many things that we think we would love to have happen in our lives. You know, I'd love to start this business. I'd like to do this. I'd like to do that. But then we're not pliable. We're not flexible. We don't allow it to unfold or to grow or to, you know, to expand or to show up in a way that, you know, is probably going to be more flowing. We get rigid on exactly, no, it has to happen this way. And I can't start this project unless I have all the money. I can't do these things unless I have it this way. And so we block the current, we block the possibilities because you rub the genie's lamp. We can say the universe is a genie's lamp and you rubbed it, but you've rubbed it with restrictions, you know, and those restrictions. And so the universe is like, okay. Or creation is like, okay, well, that's the narrow path you've given. And so this is what we're operating with until you see otherwise. Then I can show you a much bigger picture of possibilities of people that you can be introduced to and to come your way as soon as you stop restricting yourself and limiting what's possible.
Beautiful. Yeah, Creator listens to you. It says, oh, that's the only possibility we'll hear. I'll show you that it's actually, or I'll just give you that exact only possibility. And then you're like, is there more?
Mm-hmm.
I'd love to talk about something that you brushed over, and it is leadership. I know that it is a different beast when it comes to being a woman leader. It is a different thing, although I hear you have incredible balance between the two, and that's one of the things I think that makes you that king hero. You know, there was a time where I was saying women should take over the world. Right. I was pretty sure that all the problems in the world were the result of masculine energy and men. And I've had a total breakthrough. I know that that's absolute bullshit. Excuse my language. and it's very interesting because the social engineering of the day is to lift women up into leadership positions. I was just watching a news clip the other day. It is awful. It's awful. Like women in these, you know, the big anchor positions. And in the Canadian House of Commons, the lady, whatever, she's like a kindergarten teacher. And she talks in this high little voice. And she's so condescending, like she's talking to little kids.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and this is not leadership. I'm sorry. Like, this is not leadership. You can't send, these people are not allowed to look after me. They're not qualified, yeah. Right?
Absolutely.
And it's a way to take society down, to put women into leadership positions that, and I'm not saying they shouldn't be there, but, you know, that was not comforting. Go ahead.
Yeah, I think it becomes, a lot of that becomes reflective of the social conditioning in terms of how maybe a woman may respond or behave, or you might hear, oh, well, she's, you know, acting very much like a man. And there are women who feel that they do have to take on this sort of identity in order to be taken seriously. And that's not it at all. It is about a certainty in you, because for me, I completely enjoy being a woman. I love it. But at the same time, I have this balance of doing and being and operating as I need to, not based on, oh, it's a man's world and I have to. No, you're going to hear me. You're going to hear me anyway, because I'm coming at you as who I am, not from the social program perspective of having to do these extra things, because no, you're going to hear me and you're going to see me, because what you're going to hear and see is my energy. It's the energy of who I am that's going to greet you, not these lesser social programs that we're dealing with. And I think that's the place that we have to come to now and own that, and not spend so much time in, you know, what they're not giving us or not doing. They're not paying attention to us. You have to just act, just be. When you be and that energy shows up, people have no other choice but to either step aside or whatever. And that's basically how I've always seen it. That's how I've always lived. And, you know, that's just basically how I do it. I don't spend a lot of time on the other stuff, because you're not anybody who would come at me from that perspective. I feel like that energy that you're coming with is not even large enough for me to notice.
There you go.
That's really how I feel. Is because I mean, my sons or even my husband, he, you know, because he gets fascinated in watching me with certain things, and they will go, "You didn't notice how that person was either looking or whatever at you?" Or it's like, no, I'm not even paying attention, because I am about a mission. I'm about doing what I'm doing.
Yes.
So I give no energy, no whatever to what anything else that's less than the energy that I want to deal with.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Because if you did that, you would do that all day long. You would have to be in that soup, and I've seen the pace that you're going at, and I know you have a lot of responsibilities and your minutes count. By the way, please tell me when you have to go, because we didn't talk about a time frame.
Oh, I'm fine at this time. Yeah. I didn't set anything. I just figured, yeah, it's an hour, a little bit more, just so. Yeah.
Perfect. Okay, that's great. Mm-hmm. And it is a. You know, you learn to have water off the duck's back, that there are certain things maybe I used to enter into much more graciously. I had someone in my world recently that you can tell after a time they want your energy, but they're not there to do any work. They're not there to actually make any changes. They just are trying to suck the life from you, and they'll do it through conflict. Right. So showing up in one way or the other, and then, you know, trying to, like, I need this person in your group. And I'm like, okay. And then they turn around. You have to kick that person out of your group because they said something mean to me. And I'm like, I don't want anything to do with you. Let's end this conversation right now. I'm not even talking to you. I'm just not going to respond. Right. And then she had purchased my book. And so now she's demanding her money back. And I'm like, okay, well, I don't really want to go into the future with this $30 debt. So I'm going to, you know, respond enough to just cut the deal. Let's cut the, you know. And so that's done, and it's handled. I handle it immediately. And then she stalks me for days and like, you can't refund me that way. You have to refund me this way. And it's like, it's over, lady, by yesterday. It's finally like blocked on all channels, right? Like, it's just so, it's so sad, because I actually would engage with her if she was really,
but she wasn't. That's not what she was there for. That's not her character. And people have roles that they play. You know, mm-hmm. Our identities are really these characters, and that's her character. It's some people just, they're here to disrupt. They're here to show us who we are. They're here mm-hmm. to enter into our space and our lives. And like you, I remember a while ago, I had someone that wanted to book a session with me, but this person also, she booked the session, but she also wanted to talk to me ahead of time to tell me about what she wanted to talk to me about in the session, which mm-hmm. made absolutely no sense.
Yeah.
And so I responded, and then so she called a couple of times, and then finally she got mad. After it was scheduled, she got upset, and then she said, now that you have my money, you now you don't want to talk to me. And in that moment, for sure, I knew that she was correct. I do not want to talk to you. So when I saw that I was out, and I saw it on my email on my phone, and as soon as I walked into my office, I picked up that phone and I very calmly said, I got your message, and here's what's going to happen. Seconds after I hang up this phone, you will have a refund. Okay, thank you. Goodbye. Mm-hmm. That was that. Yeah. Now, if I went into trying to convince her and them to apologize. No, I saw this person. I saw what her story in life was. And I had a choice. I could either feel that I need to go into that with her and try to see if I can help her. And I didn't want to invest in that. I don't convince people of anything. And that's what she needed, somebody who needed to be needed and needed to feel good that they talk somebody out of something. And that was just too much work. It was not going to be in my mind. It's not where I was. Maybe once upon a time, maybe I would have done it, but it was like, no, that's not where I'm at. So I immediately did that. And I will do that. If I feel that this is going to be a story that I will have no part of, I'm just gonna end it right there. I even say that at even lectures. I've got to big lectures, and I've just been very clear that you're here because you've chosen to be here. I was invited here, so I am here. So what you think and what you believe, I'm okay with. I don't really care. I'm okay with that. But understand this, you're sitting in that seat because you chose to sit here. And I mean, it was done in a humorous way because everybody, people started laughing. And there was one time where I did have somebody, a gentleman, walk out. And later on, he did say to me, he goes, you know, honestly, he says, I left because everything you were saying, because I was talking for a little bit, he says, everything you were saying was true. I was just not ready to hear any of that. Mm-hmm. And he was that honest. He says, I just wasn't ready to hear any of that. Mm-hmm. So I always remember that. He says, but yeah.
It's a beautiful thing. You learn over time to trust yourself. I'm in the process of training coaches right now. And, you know, it's intense because you don't know. You're in the unknown. I've told this story before, but I'll say it again, that I was working with somebody who was told he wasn't going to survive. He was actually turned into a mentor for me after the mm-hmm. after that, but he was on my doorstep. And, you know, he was told he was going to die. So I thought, oh my God, Beth, just tell him the truth right now. He doesn't mm-hmm. have time to waste. And there was this like mm-hmm. moment, right? Like he's mm-hmm. the multimillionaire king hero guy mm-hmm. who's got everything except his health. Mm-hmm. And I knew in that moment it could go either way. He could either fire me or he could have a breakthrough. And mm-hmm. it was like, okay. And I didn't even know. We were booked for the next day. I didn't know if mm-hmm. he was going to show up or anything.
Right.
The next day he came and he said, oh my God, that changed everything. Mm-hmm. I see it now. I wanted to kill you in that moment, but mm-hmm. you know,
yeah.
Taking the risk of that. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. You did what you needed to do. And that's how I see it. I mean, it's like you did, that was what you needed to do. And there are no mistakes. And what is said, and that's something we need to understand. It's like, oh, I shouldn't have said that. No, everything you say is because you needed to say it in that moment. Whatever, in whatever capacity that may be. I've learned that. Whatever you say in that moment, it was something that needed to be said. And then once we get that under our belts, then we don't have to keep thinking, oh man, I shouldn't have said that. Or shouldn't have. Not because then that's now a story. Then we have to tell 10 other people that you said it and we shouldn't have had, you know, said. And so the stories just go on and on. But if we get it, it's like, no, what I said today or said to that person, that's exactly what needed to happen. Mm-hmm. Boom, the end. Mm-hmm. Now you can move on. Because you've clarified that and you've accepted that. So it's a real interesting game, this human experience. And it's this constant discovering of ourselves. And I was talking to a friend earlier and we were laughing. I said, you know, because every time you, if you stop and you really start looking at how much foolishness you're engaged in, you know, all these hurt feelings and this and that. And it's like so many trivial things that are important to us in the moment. But if we step back and we look, we realize exactly what happened to you. And in the back of the holographic canvas, that's one of the things I do say in the back of the holographic in the first book, is that about forgiveness. You know, and I say, you know what? I'm not worried about forgiving other people or people, you know, whatever, expecting them to apologize and all of that. I say, because honestly, when I look at it, nothing has been lost. When you get down to the heart of it, nothing has been lost. You really haven't taken anything from me. But when I'm caught up in my story of, yes, my feelings, I get it, and my emotions. And when we go through that human journey, I feel like you've taken everything from me. But if I can step back and I can look, I think, well, exactly what did they take? You took nothing. That was, to me, one of the most freeing moments to realize that nothing, you took nothing. And everything you did, there's no reason to apologize. So because of that, I've never felt that. I stopped feeling that like anybody needs to apologize to me. Everything you were in that moment with me was everything that was required in that moment. And you take it to this whole other level. Oh, it becomes so beautiful. And then the first part of the book and the intro, not the intro, but that, you know, part where you sort of thank everybody. That's how I started to thank all these people who made me mad, people who made me sad, people who betrayed me, people who made me happy. I had tears in my eyes because it was so beautiful. I was like, oh my God, all these people played this incredible role for me that drove me here. All these betrayals, all these things drove me to this moment. And here I am. Oh my gosh. And I wrote this book. I did this book. And look at how much I discovered out of my own maybe hurt feelings and all of that. And the even bigger part, Beth, is when I was able to step back and really see that, it just brought tears to my eyes, because underneath it all, underneath these characters and these roles that we play, I felt an incredible love from all these beings who said, I will come here and I will do these things for you. And they are going to, these things that I will do that will upset you is going to help you to move on and move forward. Mm-hmm. And that was the beauty that I felt, that underneath all of this was an incredible love that these people, these beings rather, had for me outside of their bodies, outside of this time and space. They said, you'll be angry with me, but I love you. And I'm going to do that for you. That's how I felt. And so writing that part, I literally had tears coming down. So it was easy to let things go, because I saw they were just playing a character. They were playing a role, and it got you here, right here now, Sonia. It got you right here. Mm-hmm. How powerful is that?
Amazing. Amazing. So inspiring. Wow. I love that. So coming maybe down towards a last couple of questions or two, when it comes to, say, what we're facing in the world, it seems to be ramping up on a daily basis. Canada is very interesting. We are a country that doesn't have a lot of, we've never had conflict of any kind. And in, you know, at least two generations. And the tendency is to listen to government when it says, do this, do that. We just turn around and we're like, oh, what else should we do? What else should we do?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know what to do. Check the government website. What are they telling me to do today? Oh, yeah. Okay. And I also like what you said earlier, is like, we're actually controlling each other. It's the government isn't walking around with a hammer, you know, telling us what to do. They've got the people telling each other what to do, mm-hmm. right? So the businesses used to be a little more relaxed. Now they're 100% in masks. when you go in, even the grocery stores where it used to be safe for me to go without a mask, now they're telling me to wear a mask, but we just have a conversation and the guy goes, I think it's bullshit under his, right. under his breath. There's more.
Sounds like you live in LA now, because that's how it's been.
I see. Yeah. Right. That's how mm-hmm. it's been anyway. Right. Mm-hmm. We're in a sleepy little Winnipeg, Manitoba. We have, you know, 600,000 or 700,000 people, if they're not mm-hmm. lying about population. And now 27 cases. I looked at the website, 27, not cases, 27 deaths. The cases are irrelevant. They're utterly meaningless. They're meaningless. We never used to decide that someone was a case when they were a little bit sick or not sick at mm-hmm. all, right? It used to be, no, this would, like, if you talking pandemic and all the fear that was put out. So how do you recommend people navigate right now to hold on to their freedom, to assert their freedom that maybe they didn't even know that they had in the first place?
Well, I mean, I think right now, and I keep emphasizing this when I put out the videos, like, for example, I've always hiked. So I go hiking very early, in the morning, and, I've always gone early in the morning, but particularly now for sure, I have a window because I know that the people who aren't really that into wearing the mask, they'll be there. And then as it gets later, the people who are showing up. Now, some people may say, well, you know, yes, I do. I wear the mask for others. And not to offend anyone, but I don't wear it. And it's not for others. I am just doing this because I need to breathe and I am out on the trail and I'm taking in oxygen and I'm not invested in any of what we're being told because I know the bigger picture behind much of this. So yeah, I've had people on the trail who I run into. They either take out their hanky and put it over their nose. And then another person, it's an older lady, she's like, where's your mask? And you know, I just kept going. I just said hi to her dog and kept going. You know, and so I think that we have to have a place in our minds in terms of what is your truth about this? That is like the core of everything. What is your truth about this? Mm-hmm. Are you, you know, in the closet on, well, I think I really believe in, you know, what they're saying. Then you have to own that. Or is your truth that my immune system is fantastic. I am healthy. And this is not my story, what's, you know, being told. And then when you make a decision that way, now you begin to look for opportunities to engage less in the experience, which is what, you know, we do. It's like I either find a place that I go to, a farm where I buy my produce. I do not go to the farmer's market anymore because that's policed and, you know, all of that's going on. You start to find places where you can have your experience, an experience that you're choosing to have. I think that's the way that we have to go at this point. Sure. Now, as far as the political aspect is concerned, sure. If, you know, one wants to look at that part of it, who you're voting for and all of that, that's another angle. But right now, what I'm looking at is how can I keep me as happy as possible, because it's all about you. I say to people, they say the universe doesn't revolve around you or the world doesn't revolve around you. And I say the opposite. I'm like, no, it does. Universe revolves around you and the world revolves around you based on what you see coming towards you. Why is that happening? Okay, because it's revolving around you and your thought process and all of that. So I recognize that. So I do. I push the envelope. I don't get into arguments with folks because I've sort of been there and that's just not going to do it. However, I have walked into stores and I'm fine. Okay, I go, okay, well, I put the scarf on over my mouth if I have to go in a particular store, oh, but never my nose. That's a decision I made, that I would never cover my nose and that I would never spend not even a half of a penny invested in a mask. I will never spend a dime on a mask. Mm-hmm. So, so I have a scarf and I will use it. I will wash it. I will wear it till this ends or until it completely disintegrates. That is the decision I have made. So if I go in a store and somebody says, oh, you need to cover your nose. I look at them and I go, okay, goodbye. And then I leave because I know that they don't know mm-hmm. what's going on mm-hmm. and that they're following protocol. Mm-hmm. So I just leave. So you have to make those decisions. You have to have what your limits are on the things that you will do. No, you may not take my temperature. No, you may not. That's an invasion of my body. Mm-hmm. You are not a medical professional. No, there's no reason for you to have that information. Mm-hmm. So there are things for me that I have just decided on I'm just not going to do. I'm not angry, but that's my decision right there. That's not what I'm doing. So I look for places to be able to be to the best of my ability. And I think right now on that basic, simplest level that I'm talking about, that's what you need to do. If you are in that mindset, if you are in the mindset of fear, that's a completely different thing. If you're on the side of fear of wearing the mask and waiting for the vaccine, then you have to operate accordingly, right? If you're scared and then you need to wear your mask and you need to do all of those things. And then you need to ask yourself also, what information am I relying on that is supporting this fear? Mm-hmm. What is the information that I am using to support this fear? And that's what we have to do. We have to have a conversation with ourselves and then get very concrete on it and then make that decision as to what we will and will not do. Mm-hmm. And that's where I am. And that I follow through with that.
Amazing. Yeah, I've been asking people a question. I can't remember who tipped me off on this one. And it's, rather than going in and criticizing and everything, but it's like, how long would you be willing to wear that mask for? Another couple of weeks, another couple of months, another couple of years, or the rest of your life? And I talked to one clerk and she's like, yeah, the rest of my life. Yeah, I'd be willing to wear it for the rest of my life. And there's a vaccine coming and I'm in a health food store and I go, oh my God, there's a thousand things here to help you with your health and you're running for the vaccine. So fascinating, you know. I did, by the way, just post a great video. It's out of the UK, but it's really relevant in mm-hmm. the common law theme. And it's helping you to have answers to all of those weird, awkward moments when someone points a temperature gun at your head or they ask you to wear a mask. And, by what authority are you, asking this? How to decline a vaccine rather than refuse? If you decline, there's a beautiful little series of questions to ask the doctor that they for sure can't answer. And how to go through without cost to you, without them smashing you. There was one person was trying to force me to wear a mask at a store, and I just said, show me the law that she was arguing. And this is policy, have to. And I said, show me the law that says I have to do this. And she said, you can go right in. And she's like, wait a minute, here, let me spray hand sanitizer at you. And I'm like, I'm allergic to that. I don't do it.
Right.
Yeah. So you prove to yourself over and over again that you have a lot more choices mm-hmm. just because a business is telling you they are not the law and they haven't. They've mandated and created orders. Mm-hmm. They're still not laws. Even when they
none
are,
of them.
Right. Even when they are laws, they apply to a fictitious character that is not this living, breathing woman.
Right. Right. Well, they're relying on people. And that's what people don't understand. They're relying on people to obey. It's the people that's causing all of this to go on. It's the people. It's not the five people that are telling us what to do. Exactly. It's the people that's the problem.
Exactly.
The people.
I know.
And the sooner we realize that, it's them. And mm-hmm. that's the only reason why they can keep doing Simon Says. Mm-hmm. And then, people go, oh, how high? And so they keep upping it. Anything that comes out that says, opposes maybe the mask wearing or the vaccine. Anything that comes out by credible people that proves that this is, you know, kind of ridiculous, then within moments, then they put a team together and then they come out with something that is really extreme fear of studies and research. And then, and so it's a constant overriding anything that could get the populace to, you know, to become independent, to become independent thinkers, to step away from the fear. So it's constantly being upped. And people need to step back and they need to really realize that, where is your power? This body is truly, truly designed to fix itself under the right conditions. So just to clarify, when I say that, I am not saying that you don't need assistance sometimes. That's not what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. But it's the kind of assistance that your body needs to support it as it fixes itself. We see that all the time. Mm-hmm. Broken bones can mend. Sure, the doctor may help to make sure it's set just right, or a cut will heal. Or as one of the gentlemen said in my film, The Business of Disease, is that it's like people would be shocked to know the cancers that arise and pass in your body all the time. There's lots that goes on in your body all the time, and it comes and goes. But we, since we're not going to the doctor every day to get checked, you have no idea what your body repairs. And to understand also that because the body is a chemical factory, your body reacts to anything that does not align with the chemical makeup and the formula, the chemical formulas that it already has made, that it knows how to operate by. You throw something else in the mix and you get an adverse reaction because it doesn't blend and the body's trying to balance it. The body's trying to say, how can I incorporate this? So then the body gets what? The body gets acid. Body starts to get acid because it's trying to figure out how to process this and try to how to fix itself. Now it's got overtime on work because of what you put in on top of your mental state, your fear and all of that. It's a lot that the body has to deal with to keep it in balance. So our thoughts also are making our body acid. Our belief systems are making our bodies acid. And we need to really, again, understand about this vehicle that we are in. It is your vehicle. You're your body, but you're not. You're much more expansive. You're beyond your body, but your body is your vehicle, as pretty much everybody here knows. But you have to get back in the driver's seat. You are the owner. And again, in the first part of the film, it's like I'm reminding people, stop renting yourself out. Stop renting out your body. Stop leasing it out. Stop leasing out your mind. You know, you lease out your mind and your body. That's what happens. It's all up, open to be leased. And when we realize that, we start taking back our ownership of this vehicle and deciding what goes into it and what doesn't. And a lot of those people that I see that are making these decisions, they look so unhealthy. How are you telling me what I need to do when you look you like somebody just woke you up out of the mausoleum or something? Yeah. You know, I'm like, no, I don't think you can tell me anything about what to do, because you look at me and you look at you, and maybe some people were the same age, but I am a mother and I am a grandmother. So I must be doing something.
Yeah.
And you're doing something that I definitely don't want to do.
Amazing. So good. I love it. So the business, yeah, thebusinessofdisease.com is the film. I'm sorry, I have not seen it yet, but I'm super excited to
look. Oh, I promised to allow you to see that, but I get so busy, I forgot.
Not a problem. So I just want to make sure everybody goes. Thebusinessofdisease.com is where you can see that film. And what an enjoyable conversation. We are so on the same page with a lot of these things. And self-responsibility, it's you get all the power. If you're willing to assume responsibility, you get the power in your system and you get to actually have the life that you want. That's what I notice is that, you know, this pandemic comes along and it it created circumstances for everybody, but it's so fascinating. Like one of my coaches that I work with, she has a way better life now. Like, you know, way more right. money. She was already successful. She has way more money now. She's getting married. They just bought a beautiful house on the water. There's like, she's living her dream right now. And, mm-hmm. and other people are going through hell. So it's not to take that away from them. But we, at some point, you can start to go, okay, I'm co-creator in this situation. I don't have to just sit back and accept what's right. being done to me. We have say, we have power. Our words matter. They've got us enslaved by words. We can unslave by words.
Right, right. And each person's journey is unique to them. So that's the other thing too. You don't have to feel guilty because your life seemed to be going in a direction of joy. And sometimes people feel guilty. Their life is seeming happy and, you know, then the other person isn't. We have to keep remembering everybody is here as a free agent. Even a baby is a being. We are here as free agents, and we don't know what journey people come here to experience. We do know that there's opportunities to constantly evolve and make changes, but we must remember that everybody's here on a unique journey. Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. You said it. Well, God bless you, Sonia. I love you so much. I love your spirit.
I love our conversations.
Totally, totally.
Yeah.
I hope there'll be time to join me again at some point and
absolutely.
Check in with you. So I invite everyone to go to therealsoniabarrett.com is a place I assume that that all roads
That's my main website.
Right. All roads lead to that. Mm-hmm. To that website and the Business of Disease and also the expansionzone.com. So mm-hmm. check if you haven't been following Sonia's radio show and podcasts, then I highly recommend. They're always amazing. That is how I met you in the first place, through David Bradley. I'd want to shout out to him. Yeah, yeah. He's going to be on my show again. Now he started his own podcast.
Right.
He's
got inspired. I'm going to be on there at some point too. I know he asked. David is great. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Thank you to everyone who's been here in the chat. I love and adore you guys. It's always such a pleasure. I always feel amazing after these shows. And so do check in. If you have any documents for me with facts, I would love to have those. Also, if you are in Manitoba, there are some serious things happening. It looks like we're creating a common law assembly. Someone has taken leadership of that. Mm-hmm. We are starting to undo the ties that bind us. And have some actually really good guidance around that. So definitely get in contact.
Lots happening.
Like to be part of it. Yeah, exactly. It's go time. Mm-hmm. And so thank you once again, Sonia, for joining me. Thank you everyone for being here, and have a beautiful rest of your day.
Thank you. Thank you to everybody as well.
My pleasure. Bye for now.